Amen. The Lord moved in a special way last night. I know one young man, somebody was telling me, told their counselor, amen. He said, I did something great tonight. He said, this was a teenager. He said, I gave my heart to the Lord. Amen. In that service last night, I know of at least one that gave their heart to the Lord, changed directions. Amen. Hallelujah. No telling what else happened. Amen. I just encourage you to press on in. Amen. So glad to have Brother and Sister Hatfield, evangelist, traveling across this land and changing, seeing lives change through their ministry. And we're so glad they're able to come again to Truth Camp. Can we give a good hand of welcome? Come, Brother Hatfield. Appreciate you being here tonight.
The good news tonight is if Jesus is all that you have, He's all you'll ever need. I'm glad to know that He is a friend to the friendless. He's one that will love you when you're unlovable. He's one that will keep you when nobody thinks you can be kept. I'm glad He's my everything. Amen. I'm so glad to be at Truth Camp. Man, hasn't God already been good in this place? I mean, I have enjoyed it from the opening song last night all the way through the service. I was just glad to see what God was doing. And I can't help but believe that God has something in store for us that is special. I'd love to see us just pick up right where we left off last year and start all over again with that last Thursday night kind of presence and just allow God to move us through this camp. But the reality is this, is there's a lot of us that even though we shouted around the altars last year, tarried and got what we needed, I believe there's been a lot of water under the bridge since then. And if we'd be honest, there's been a lot of battles we've fought. And we need God to do what He did all over again. We don't need to just come in here looking to run and shout, speak in tongues, but I want to be changed. I want something to grow in me. I'm not just looking to sustain myself for a little while. I've often questioned myself. We've been in a lot of different youth camps this year. We've preached. This is our fifth one so far this summer. And I've asked myself, because I've looked around and there's been reoccurring kids at different camps. And I've often just wondered, how is it that these kids can shout like this and run and pray and cry? And within a matter of 2 or 3 months, go home and they're starving and they're out of church and they're absent and they're not where they need to be. And I've come to this conclusion that you can have something all over you that makes you feel good, but if you don't get it in you, you won't survive. The fact is tonight is I could be submerged completely in water, but if I don't ever take a drink of that water, I'll die of thirst. There's a lot of you that it's not that you're not around what you need, it's all over you. You just need to get it on the inside. Amen. Something that sustains you for good. Amen. I'm believing God to do that this week. It's so good to see each and every one. Appreciate the powerful preaching that's already went forth, the wonderful exhortation that went on, and the good things that's happened right before in youth service and different things. I'm just thankful for all that God's doing. Thankful for the wonderful word we heard this morning from Brother Byerly. If He didn't make you want to possess something, then something's wrong with you. You're just going to be happy renting the rest of your life. It makes me want to possess. And I mean, stirred us up this morning. Appreciate the word that He brought with Him this morning and the good spirit that He brought, the way God touched around these altars. Let's just believe God to move tonight. John chapter 21. I do apologize. I appreciate the wonderful invitation. We're glad to be here. And my wife was so looking forward to this meeting. And our daughter's not feeling well, got sick this morning, so she's kept her in the trailer to make sure that she didn't pass that on to anybody else. But she said to make sure she conveyed to all her friends, or that I conveyed to all those out here, that she's not just staying away because she wants to. She has been looking forward to Truth Camp all year. And if this is getting recorded and gets out, it may get said that I'm biased and she's biased. But of all the different camps we've been to all year, Truth Camp set a standard last year. And there's been a lot of times that we've made comparisons and just look forward to getting here. We're excited about what God's going to do in this place. Amen. John chapter 21, if you're there tonight, verse 1, just say amen. I want to read a familiar story to us, one that is very real, but that's only found in this gospel. And most of the time, different stories throughout the New Testament, you find them reoccurring in each gospel. But this story is only in John chapter 21. Let's look at it tonight. John 21, verse 1, if you're there tonight, say amen again. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Anybody ever done that? How many of you guys been fishing and was man enough to come back and say, I didn't catch anything? That's probably the truest fish story I've ever heard. Nothing to show for all of our effort. Verse 5. Let's go to verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. I just want to make one more statement, then I'll finish reading. What you came looking for tonight isn't that far from where you are. Cast the net on the other side. What you came pursuing tonight, it's not that far, nor is the action that different than what you're already doing. How many knows the difference in a good fishing trip and just a fishing trip is fish? How many understands the difference in having church and having church is Jesus Christ? Amen. Let's go ahead, verse 6, the latter part. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. This story has been preached a lot, but God drew my attention to the latter part of verse 7 again. I want to preach this to you tonight. The very end speaks of Peter's response, and did cast himself into the sea. If God would help me preach for just a few minutes tonight, I'd like to look eye to eye with every individual in this generation that has been given many names. Since about 1990, they've been calling us different things. Generation X, Generation Y, Generation Z, all declaring different forms of our identity that seems to be getting farther and farther away from pursuing the things of God. But I'd like for us to have a new identity, and I believe it could start right here at Truth Camp. I want to preach just on one word tonight, if God would help me. That word is this: overboard. Overboard. There's some of you tonight that you sit on the bench, you sit on the seat, and you wait for somebody else to make the move. I've come to tell you, you ain't got that long, and his presence is too close for you to stay sitting comfortable next to somebody else. I feel the Lord's going to help us in this place tonight. Would you raise your hands? I'm going to ask each and every one of you to open up your mouth, begin to pray like you've been called upon. Let's ask God to meet us right where we are. Lord, I love you. I thank you for your goodness. I pray right now that you would touch my mind, my vocal cords. God, that you would anoint my body. God, I pray that you'd remove every other thing from our minds,
from us, God, that should not be, things that are not pertinent to spiritual heights. I pray that you would elevate our thoughts, God, to a spiritual plane. Move in this place. Anoint us by your divine touch. God, I pray that your anointed word would anoint your messenger, that you'd move around these altars. God, I'm here for one reason and one reason alone. God, is that that's that you may be glorified, that this body might be edified, that we might reach heights that we've never reached and dig to deeper depths than we've ever dug. I pray that your touch, God, would magnify your presence, that everyone would be felt, everybody would know that you've been here, and everybody would know your presence. We ask it in Jesus' name tonight. Touch us, make us new, make us over, move in these altars, and we'll give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. And everybody said amen. You can be seated. May God richly bless you tonight. I know that this is a story that we've heard a lot, and I understand that it's probably a Sunday school material. But as I looked at it again today, something came over me, and I just want to declare to us that I am, for once, somebody that is weary with individuals. So we look across the church and it seems to be overpopulated with individuals whose experience and greatest expectation is not in their future, but is in their past. So we look around the congregation, it doesn't take long to find individuals who used to burn with a fire and with a fervency, but somewhere in their relationship with God, that fire burned up and it burned out and it left them in disappointment. And they're individuals that seem to have the greatest testimony to be of what was instead of what is and what will be. I understand that I'm a generation and I'm somebody that's a part of us, and we look around and I'm thankful for the stories of old. I'm thankful for what God did. I'm thankful for the reference we had. But I'm also thankful that we serve a God that is the same yesterday as he is today and will be the same tomorrow. I look at this story, and here's what sticks out to me, is that there's probably not a one of us that's of age at all that has not had some type of experience going fishing. I know that there's a lot of you guys in here tonight that would probably vie that you're the best and that you always catch the most, that your fish is always the biggest, but there's not a one of us in this room tonight that hasn't been at some time and didn't get what we came for. There's not been a one of us that did not go to that same fishing hole that we caught all of those fish last time and seemed to use the same bait. It's the same time of year. All of the conditions seem to be perfect, but it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't seem like you can get anything to bite whatsoever. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, I feel like there's times that you and I, we come to church and we really feel like we've got it figured out, how to move the crowd, how to make people shout, how to make young people get excited and emotional. But I've come to declare to you, it doesn't matter how good the singing is. It doesn't matter who the preacher is, what his name is, how he used to preach, and the message that changed your life last time you heard him. If God doesn't send an anointing that breaks the yoke like he promised through the Holy Ghost last night, it doesn't matter what we do. There won't be any of the product that you and I have come looking for. I find that these are individuals, these men that have made up their mind. They've got nothing going on now. Jesus has appeared twice to them, both in church settings. Now it's not church time. And I find that Peter's not going to sit there and just twiddle his thumbs. So he looks at others that are present and he says, I don't know what you boys are doing, but I'm going fishing. I'm not just going to sit here and waste idle time. I'm going to tell you this much. I like the fact that he's busy. I like the fact that somebody in that generation said, I'm not just going to wait on everybody else to wait on me. I'm going to go get busy doing something. I'm not much for a lazy generation. I'm not much for those that won't pray more than 2 or 3 minutes around an altar. I believe if we're going to get something, it's going to be because we work to get it. I find that these individuals said, we ain't going to sit here and wait for you to bring fish back. We're going to go with you. I believe that's why most of you came to camp. Somebody else said, let's go to truth camp. You said, I'm not going to sit at home. I'm going to go with you. They all go. They get out in the boat. Here's what I find. I'll give them an A for effort because they got out there and they fished all night long. They weren't out there 2 hours and figured that nothing was biting and went home. They weren't individuals that felt like we've tried all the bait and the boat, nothing's working. We're leaving this place. No, I find that they were there with such determination and put forth such an effort that Peter had worked up a sweat and worked all the way out of his fisherman's coat. He was doing everything that he could to catch a fish. He was trying. He was putting forth his best effort. This leads me to believe that they're not here for recreation, but they are here on business. They're looking for survival. I hope that some of you came to this camp this week and you're here tonight saying, I'm not just here for recreation. If I don't win a volleyball game, if I never touch a basketball, if I never throw a softball, I'm not here for recreation, but I've came here for a purpose. I've came here on business. I've got a mind made up and I've got a determination. Is there anybody here tonight? I know that some of you came, you expected certain things to happen and they ain't happened yet. You're still believing God to do it. Can I tell you, don't be a generation that settles and says, well, it ain't happened yet. Thank God for what he did Monday night. No, I've come to tell you, you need to get a vision for that you need in your heart and declare, I'm not leaving until I came and get what I came for. I'm not walking out of this place. I'm ready to tarry. I'm ready to throw the net again. You say, I'm coming up empty. Throw it again. You say, I prayed last night. Pray again. Get a mind made up says, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody else is going to do. I'm going to get through. I'm going to get what I need from God. I may not get where I'm going the way that I want to. I may not be able to arrive in a helicopter. My goals may not be reached by the highest of heights, but my determination is so great that if I can't get there the way I want to, if I can't ride a limo, if I can't get there in an airplane, then give me a bicycle. I'm still going, and I'm still going to reach my destination. It may not be easy. It may not be something that happens overnight, but I'm still believing for the promises of God to be a reality, to touch me, to affect me, to change me, and to make me new. Don't you settle this week. I find that we are so much like these individuals because they're doing something familiar. They have no church right now, so they just go back and they do what they're familiar with. They fish. The majority of these guys are fishermen, so they go out and they get in a boat and they cast a net. Same net, same waters. They've caught fish here before, coming up empty-handed. The fact is this, is I don't care how good you are, you've got no real control over fish. I don't care how appetizing you make that stinky bait smell. You got no ability to make them eat. You're not going to catch fish every time. Fish are something that has a mind of their own, not controlled by you and me. Can I tell you something? Church is not controlled by you and me. We look around and many times we come, and I know we've got expectations and I've got a lot to preach tonight, so I'm going to do my best to rush it along. But there's a lot of us that we came here tonight and we feel like if such and such sings that certain song and a brother so-and-so preaches that certain message, all of a sudden we're going to get what we need. It's going to come through like a wave. There's going to be a train of God's glory come in and drop off blessings all around. I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't matter who you are, just because you're there, just because you show up with the right tools doesn't mean that you are going to get the product that you're looking for. Here's what I find is that even in church, you and I, much like fishing, we make our best educated guess and we just end up getting the results that you and I came for. We just hope that God sends the glory. We've got no power to produce it ourselves. We've got nothing to bring the product. All we know is we follow this guideline. We use the same tools, but here's where they're at. They're using the same tools They're here really feeling their way around in the dark. Nothing's happening. All the efforts that used to work are working now. I don't know who it is that I'm preaching to tonight, but I feel like there's a lot of you that you go to churches that it makes you wonder why you don't feel what you do at Truth Camp back at home. Why it is you don't feel what you've been feeling last night everywhere. Can I tell you why? Because it's not up to a man. It's not up to a product. It's not up to a certain group of individuals. It's not up to where you get your mind and, man, I can do this. I can preach it right. I can sing it right. I can make it happen. You cannot save a soul. You can stir an emotion. You can stir the waters. You can make the fish move from here to there, but you can't make somebody get free. You can't break the chains that bind. You can't shine the light where God can. What are you saying? I've come to tell you that it is different having church when Jesus is a part of it. Can I tell you, when God begins to move in us, the actions that we take are precise. It may be the same song. It may be the same sermon through the same preacher, but when Jesus is giving the orders, all of a sudden there is a product of a precise move. I mean, God begins to give us that we are in need of. Can I tell you, when you and I find that Jesus takes simple loaves of bread and fishes and says, pass them out, it's always enough to feed every hungry soul. When Jesus says, take those vessels and fill it with water, it's always the best wine you've ever tasted. But you could do it again in yourself and not add up to anything. What are you saying? I'm saying that you and I need a mind that says, I'm tired of just going through the motions. I'm tired of feeling my way in the dark. I want to be spirit-led. I want to be somebody whose steps are ordered by the Lord. And everywhere I go is a pre-planned destination where I'm not just doing something that's like God's will, but I'm in the center of God's will. How is it that you see a product that brings about a revival? Well, God's glory gets in the middle of it and he orders it. God, help us to find the center of that will this week and get what we need from Almighty God. This is the key. There's a disconnection. I'm being transparent, all right? Why don't we have services like last Thursday night of last year all the time? There's a disconnection between us and God. Why is it that Peter is somebody that is in a boat with John and others? They're casting nets that they've been full of fish. Now they're empty. The difference is they're not there ordered by the Lord. You see, the reason that they're there going through the same motions is because this is where Peter found Christ the first time. Or maybe I should say the place that Jesus found Peter. I find in Luke chapter 5, you know this story, that Peter is out in his boat. He's already had a night just like this one. He's fished all night. He's not caught anything. He's sitting there mending his nets, and Jesus walks up, wades out in the water, climbs up on the bow of that boat and says, do you mind if I use this for a pulpit? He says, have at it, buddy. Go ahead and use it. He gets up. He begins to preach, and here's what I find is when Jesus gets done preaching, he looks at him in Luke chapter 5, verse 4, and he says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Anybody ever gone to church and you sung every song you knew? Any worship leader ever gave it all you had and looked around disappointed? Any preacher ever preached with all the fire and fervency that you can muster up and nobody came? Nobody prayed. Any young person came seeking the Holy Ghost and found that there was nobody there seeking with you? Have you ever done everything you know to do and come up with nothing? But this is what Peter said. We've got nothing to show for all of last night. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when this was done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. You know what that tells me? That Peter looked at him and said, listen, in the last few minutes, all the things that I've heard from you has so impressed me. Your words have been so powerful that it doesn't matter that I've already done everything I know to do and come up empty. When you say do it, I do it all over again. Can I tell you what you and I need is a mind that says, I may have done that already, but if God says do it, I'm stepping out where I've never been. I'll go do it all over again. I'll go where I was. Whatever he says unto me, I've got a mind that answers, Lord, I will. You and I used to be outspoken about what Jesus did. Some of us, when we got saved, it was miraculous. Can you hear Peter's testimony? Did I ever tell you the time, about the first time me and Jesus went fishing? Best fishing trip I've ever been on. What'd you do? Threw my net out in the same place. I had threw it out all night long. My net broke. I had so many fish. You may have heard a story like that. The ones that got away. You know, that fish was right up to the boat. Biggest fish I ever saw. I couldn't get a picture of it, but my buddy was with me. Wasn't that a big fish? Anybody got a salvation story that says you don't understand how low and down I was, how despicable and dirty and unclean? So-and-so was there the night I got saved. You remember what God did for me? You remember how he changed me? You remember how things had completely been made new? Can I tell you, this was back before Peter was somebody that realized. Peter had story after story of blind eyes being opened and deaf ears hearing and all kinds of things taking place, dead being raised. But now what I find is Peter is somebody that is in a boat, and what he's doing is he's just going through familiar motions because he's somebody that made commitments with his mouth that his body could not cast. He was writing checks with his words that he had no ability to make sure that they were good. I've come to tell some of us that we made commitments last year at this altar that were broken before the month was over. Some of us said things to God that we were sincere about saying, and we've not kept what we said. We've not done what we said we'd do, and here we are tonight, and some of us feel like we'll never ever feel like we felt then. We'll never ever have a touch like we once had. It'll never be as good as it used to be. What do we find out? We find out we're a failure and we're a forsaker. We are a denier and a liar. Can I tell you now what we're doing? You look down your pew. Can I tell you what you've done this week at camp? You have found a boat that makes you feel comfortable. You have found a group of individuals that's pretty much just like you. If we're not careful, we're not aligning ourselves with people that make us want more of God, that's not inspiring me to pray more, that's not challenging me to live better. Our friends, oh God, help me preach this right here. Some of you can look around you, the people wouldn't condemn you for whatever you do. Why? Because they're in the same boat you are. They've done the same thing you've done. You feel comfortable next to them because they're going through the same motions. They raise their hands, but they still know something ain't right. They ain't feeling what they used to feel, even though they're going through the same motions, throwing that same net, doing that same thing. Can I tell you why you're here, even though it may be somewhat hypocritical? I'll tell you why. It's because somewhere deep inside, there's a desire to feel that old tug that you felt that time that Jesus was a part of your life. So you go through the motions, open all. Oh God, let me feel that tug again. Let me feel. Anybody remember that tug you had when Jesus was in the boat? Anybody remember how good it felt just doing the simple things of God when Jesus was a part of what was going on? God help us to remember. God help us to desire the things that once was when God was a part. Some of you remember how you felt that first tug. man, out of nowhere, you've been going to church for a long time, and I mean, all of a sudden, there was something pulling you to an altar, something you couldn't resist. But now some of us, we felt that once we messed up, we just find that boat, we go back and go through the motions. Some of you, for the last year, with little excerpts of God's glory, have just went through the motions. Kneel at an altar, raise your hands, walk the aisle. But I've come to tell somebody here right now, if you're in a boat with people that make you feel good about being just like they are, you might want to ask yourself, are these friends? If you're in a row of people that they won't pray with you if you tarry at the altar, you might want to ask yourself, are these friends? Can I tell you a little quick secret? Not everybody that's nice to you is your friend. And sometimes a friend isn't always nice. How many of you girls know a friend is somebody who tells you, hey, you got something in your teeth? Your buddy will say, hey, man, there's something funky. Come out of your shoe. They're real with you. Man, I wish we'd get real with one another this week. I'm not looking for a cheerleader. I'm looking for a friend. I'm not looking for somebody to congratulate me and talk about how good I am. No, I'm looking for somebody to say, hey, if you want to be better, you can be. There's potential in you to have more of God than what you've got. Why are you sitting around where you're sitting? Some of your friends, if they said that to you, you'd say, get out of my boat. I'm not looking for you to sit with you. I'm not looking for critics. I ain't got time. Can I tell you, you've got time for critics, especially if they're your friends. I understand some people criticize everything, but somebody that cares about you is going to let you know, hey, we're just going through the motions here. And if this ain't what God has told us to do, we could do this all night. I'm all about it. I believe we ought to tarry at the altar. But if it ain't working, we need to move on to something else and let God do what he came to do. Can I tell some of you that you've gone through the motions for so very long that you don't know if you'll ever feel what you felt again? But I've come to preach to somebody, just as day was dawning, as the sun was breaking, I find that Jesus is standing on the shore. They didn't even know he was there. Can I tell some of you here tonight that he's among us and you haven't even noticed yet? He was while the choir was singing present, and some of you didn't even know it. Some of you were saying, God is my everything, and you couldn't even tell that he was nigh you. But I've come to tell you, when you think that it's just all lost and everything's over and you wish you could feel the way you used to feel, I hear somebody with a familiar voice calling from the shore, hey, have you got what you came for? Man, I wish some of you would hear that voice tonight. Have you already got what you came to Truth Camp for? Have you got it yet? If some of you be honest, you'd say, no, I ain't got it yet. I've gone through the motions. I'm here doing the same thing that I always do. I haven't got anything yet. You know what his response was? He says, would you like to? I know I'm saying it in my own words. He says, take that net and cast it on the other side. I'm not looking to add to the Bible tonight, but if I could say it this way, have you got all the Holy Ghost that you came for? Have you got all the Holy Ghost that you came for? I'm waiting on a vote. I'm looking for a no. Have you got it yet? Have you got all the Holy Ghost you came for? Would you like some more? You got everything that you need. You got everything that you need. Has it been a while since you wept around the altar? Would you like to again? Has it been a while since you felt all the fulfillment of knowing that there was no condemnation, that you had to lay your head on your pillow with that knife? You knew it was free. You knew it was gone. That you're a new creature in Christ, and old things have passed away, and all things have become new. He's saying, if you want it, it's available. All you got to do is obey me. It's not all that different. I said it's not all that different. It's not much different than what you're doing right now. But whatever he's saying, do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Don't worry about what anybody else says. Let them call you silly. Let them say you're crazy. Let them say you lost it. Let them say whatever they want. Just obey the voice of the Lord. I don't know how big the boat was. I do know this. They didn't sail Titanics back then. I know they came in a smaller boat to the shore, so it was a bigger boat. But I don't think they went 100 yards across the deck. They picked up the net. It was still dripping wet from this side. Dropped it in over here. Can I tell you, we're in the right place. We're in the right spot. The product's there. But you can't make the Spirit do anything. You can't change a life. You can't make a fish jump in a boat. But the God that created all of nature can tell those fish, without a word, to swim from all four corners of that lake into your net. The Bible says in just a matter of moments from here, God gave them what they were looking for. Does any of you realize how quick you could get what you came for with just a simple act of obedience? All night, throwing this net, nothing, nothing. God says, "Move." Okay, I'll move it over here. Throw it in, and you can't pull it out. You know what it was, Brother Nick? All of a sudden, that same familiar voice, even though they still didn't know who it was, came with a familiar tug. Brother Snow, that familiar tug and that familiar voice was all that it took for somebody that was still in connection with Christ, named John, to lean over to Peter and say, "It's okay, Peter. It's the Lord." Can I tell some of you tonight that what you've been feeling, what you've been needing to do, that familiar voice you're hearing right now, that familiar conviction you felt around the altar last night, now that familiar tug with a little bit of obedience, sometimes all you're waiting on is just confirmation from somebody that knows God good enough. It's all right. It's the Lord. I know you don't know what to do. I know you're fearful. I know things ain't just right. You see, here's what I find. I'm not going to preach much longer. I'm just about done. But Peter had seen Christ two separate times. And not one time had Christ looked at him and said, "Some friend you are." There had been no verbal explanation. Matter of fact, there had been nothing but love for Peter as he told somebody, "I'm going so and so. You tell my disciples and Peter to come meet me there." He's not excommunicated. I still love him, but there's still something that's not quite right between Jesus and Peter. And what I find out is that Peter's there. This is Peter's idea. He's back in a boat because he's looking for a familiar touch. He's hearing a familiar voice. Now he's got confirmation from somebody close. What you're hearing and what you're feeling is okay. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. What you're hearing and what you're feeling, hear a truth camp tonight. It's all right. It's the Lord. You want to find that Peter did? Peter's an individual that has worked so hard that his coat's off. He says, "Give me my coat. Give me." What are you doing, Peter? here. We got to get these fish in the boat. No, you guys can have the fishing story. You can have the pats on the back. You can have all the credit. You can have it all. Where are you going, Peter? I got to get out of this boat. Why? I got to get where he is. I got to get where he is. I refuse to sit here another minute. Not if he's that close. I said, not if he's that close. I refuse to stay where I am. I got to get where he is. I'm not even asking to walk on water, but sink or swim. I'm overboard. I said, I'm wading out in it. Let them say what they want. I got to get in the presence of God Almighty. Don't stay where you are tonight, friend. There's a God on the shore. It's waiting by a fire. You can read the rest of the story for yourself. John 21 goes on to say this. Peter gets to the shore first, and there's no words recorded. You see, I don't know who you are tonight, and I don't know why God would lay this message on my heart if it wasn't for somebody that's here that's just going through the motions. They've drifted into the scenery, and here at Truth Camp, nobody knows who they are. They don't know what the problems are that they're facing or the things that they're going through. And you're doing the same thing everybody else is. But you need special touches from the presence of God. You need a confirmation that lets you know everything's okay between me and him. It doesn't say what took place, young men. All I know is he was dripping wet. And when he looked in the eyes of the Savior, there may have been words exchanged. There may have just been a silent look. We don't know. But I do know this. They had supper. And as soon as supper was over, standing by a fire, Jesus looked at Peter. And he said, Simon Peter, lovest thou me? Peter said, Lord, I know that you know that I love you. He asked him three times. I know it doesn't take a Bible scholar, but you all know this. It's just been a little while ago, three different times, Peter has stood at a fire, and he's denied that he ever knew his name. Some of you don't want to admit it, but you've denied Jesus Christ. In those times that Jesus has nudged you to talk to that friend and witness about him, and you shrugged it off because you didn't want to leave a ripple in the water, you've denied Jesus. In the times when God gave you the chance to choose to do right, but you did wrong, you've denied Jesus. But right now, he's asking, beside a fire, asking Peter, do you love me like you said you do? Because you said you love me more than these. You said you love me more than all the other disciples. Do you love me like that, Peter? Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. Three separate times he gave him a command. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Do you know what he was saying? Peter, you're in. You're still a part. I'm not throwing you out. Our relationship isn't over. There's still a me and you. And at a fire just a little while ago, you may have denied me three times. I'm giving you a chance to put every one of those denials under my fresh shed blood. Can I tell somebody here tonight that it doesn't matter who you are waiting right now in this place, there's a Jesus that says, every denial, I'll put it under my blood. All you've got to do is jump ship. Say, I'm not staying where I'm at anymore. I'm getting out of where I've been. I'm not going to stay the same person. And I'm going to flood a place where God's presence is with my presence. And I'm going to get what I need from Jesus Christ. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed right now. Someone's coming to the piano. I've asked Brother Dustin to help me tonight. Sister Holly's absence. I'm asking some young person tonight whose head is bowed, who's not worried about anybody else. Is there somebody here right now that says, I'm tired of being where I'm at. I'm tired of going through the motions. Some of you prayed and wept last night around this altar, not just because you're glad to be here, not just because you're glad to feel his presence, But I could sense it in my spirit. Some of you, you need to get things right between you and God. I'm going to say this again. Before you and I ever experience the fullness of God's power in His Holy Ghost, we have to experience the fullness of repentance. That simply means this, young people. When you repent, it means I'm not going back to what I used to be. I'm not going to do the things I used to do. I love Jesus so much that I'm so sorry that I'm not going to hurt Him like that anymore. I'm going to do what He would have me do. I'm going to walk away from that made me a sinner. Those of you that's here tonight, somebody right now that I'm speaking to needs to step out of their pew and come accept Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm sorry for where I've been, for what I've done. And I'm asking, Lord, right now while I feel Your presence, put me back in good standing with You. Don't let me stay the way that I am. Don't let me remain the way that I've been. I've got to put things back right. They're getting ready to play. There's some that's already coming to this altar. I'm asking you right now, this is a very sober time. This isn't really how I chose to open up this camp. I had something completely different last night, but God laid this on my heart this morning. I've come to tell some of you, there's no need for us to try to progress any further until you're ready to step out of the boat. Say, Lord, I got to get back in Your presence. God, I have to have a conversation that may not be documented by anybody else, but I've got to make sure that I'm where I need to be. God, I've got to put my denials under the blood. God, I've got to feel Your presence like I've once felt it before. I'm in need of Your touch. I'm in need of Your help. I don't care what anybody says about me. I'm getting out of this boat. I'm walking back to where I need to be. I've got to get back in Your presence. I've got to feel Your power. Oh, young people, I know there was a great move last night, but I'm not just looking for one night. We need to get what we need from God. Come on, come on, get out of the boat. Whatever it takes tonight, make up your mind. I've got to sever relationships. I've got to get in His presence. I've got to live a life that's on purpose. I've got to know God's presence. He's waiting. Your miracle is waiting in the water. Step out tonight. Make up your mind. Whatever you need. Whatever you need, it's available. Let God give you the product. Come on, young people. Come on. Come on.
Saw the